Hey guys, it's Jesse.
And Hannah.
And for the first time in like five times of recording, I don't have an echo.
Oh
It's like truly I've been blessed in this moment.
that's good to hear.
But also this is we've been a little too harsh,
Oh,
in
yes,
case
it
you didn't
is. It
know.
is. That's true. But have we been? Remains to be seen.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I was maybe a little too harsh on this show so far.
I mean, maybe. But maybe that's going to change with this episode. Who could say? This was a big
I can
episode.
definitely say whether or not it will change.
Okay, but I don't want to know, so
I
don't
know.
spoil.
So, what have you done the last 2 days in between recording?
A lot.
Oh,
Yes.
really?
So, as listeners know, I was starting a DBT program and I got accepted into one today.
Yes.
I have my intake on Monday and then I'm going to start the following Monday.
That's good.
It costs almost $500 a week, which is
Oh
horrifying.
my God.
I can do it.
Okay.
I am going to try to get my insurance to cover it, in which case it will be $80 a week, which is much better.
Oh, wow.
So, I am hopeful that I can do that. I called my insurance company today and they were like, they made it sound like it was possible, but they were like, we won't talk to you. We have to go through the provider for this.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
So I was like, okay. So I have to, on Monday when I'm doing my intake, I'm going to be like, can you call my insurance company? And hopefully they will do me a solid and help me out. I became convinced that I was borderline after doing research. I talked to my therapist about it today. I texted her last night. I was like, I need to meet with you tomorrow. And so I met with her today. And she's like, you definitely have borderline characteristics, but I wouldn't want to diagnose you hastily. And I was like, Helen. So I still have no answer.
I mean, also, I see why she wouldn't, because, like, the comorbidity rate between ADHD, bipolar, and borderline is like they're the same disease.
I have one thing that's being split into three things. Which is it's fine. I mean, I feel like I laid all my feelings on her about that making me feel like illegitimate and how I wasn't allowed to relate to people with borderline anymore and how I'd bought this book about borderline and I was like, should I even read it? And she was like, yes, because you have borderline characteristics. So, it's hard. I'm going to talk to my psychiatrist about it. Maybe she'll diagnose me or she'll tell me like, absolutely not, you don't have it, in which case at
I
least
mean,
I'll
I
have an
think you
answer.
also had like an easy, no offense, an easy bipolar diagnosis story.
No, no,
Oh,
no,
never
no.
mind. Okay.
It
I
just
think
was
I
a
just
long time
assumed
ago.
that you ended up at the hospital, like in college, right? No.
No,
I
no, no, no.
completely made up a
You just
story.
made this up. Yeah, no, I convinced my mom to take me to. Okay, so after I was in my car accident, I convinced my mom to take me to the pediatrician. I was 18. To get something for anxiety after the car accident was what I told her. But then I told the pediatrician, I was like, I think I'm depressed. And she wouldn't prescribe me anything. So she referred me to a psychiatrist. And of course, I had to tell my mom. So that was terrible. And then I went to the psychiatrist, and there I was diagnosed. So it wasn't like
That's
horrible or
still
anything.
easy.
I mean, yeah, but I had also been suffering since I was like 6 years old and didn't get diagnosed till I was 19.
I
So it
mean,
wasn't great.
I'm comparing not like not, you know, mental illness Olympics. That's
Sure.
not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like
Diagnosis
interactions,
Olympics.
yes, with like the psychiatrist, 'cause I and like I know a lot of other people have had the same problem, have had like a really difficult time getting like doctors to believe me, which like you know,
I do.
but it took me like 4 years of going consistently to a therapist and a psychiatrist for them to even say, okay, maybe you have bipolar.
I didn't actually get the bipolar diagnosis then actually. I got a unspecified mood disorder diagnosis.
Oh,
And
yeah.
yeah, and honestly, I just when I moved to New York, I just told my psychiatrist that I have bipolar disorder and then she put that as my diagnosis. So that's how
That's
I
what
got
I
my
started
diagnosis.
doing.
Yeah. Doctors are so eager to diagnose you with unspecified versions of things rather than just giving
Because
you a
they're
fucking
so
name.
afraid that it, like, labeling you with something is gonna hurt you, and it's like, actually, it
It would. I know.
helps.
They don't get it. They do not get it.
So today on our podcast, we have canceled psychiatrists.
We have, thank God. We are now your psychiatrists. Come to us for your needs.
I will diagnose you with anything and everything.
The thing with borderline is there's no, like, established medical protocols and, like, medication. So it doesn't really matter whether I get the diagnosis or not. So that's something that I'm, like, reassuring myself with. Like, it wouldn't change my meds. There's no secret drug that I haven't used yet that they are hiding from me because I don't have this diagnosis. So it's like, and I'm already doing the therapy that you're supposed to do for it. So it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Truly. Like, the only thing that it would change is, like, maybe it would have been easier to get into a DBT group.
But I'm already in the DBT group. So, and it wasn't particularly hard. The hard part was just finding one that had an opening. It wasn't that they didn't want, like, me.
Yeah. Yep.
But now I've got one, and it's going to meet over Zoom for a while, and then later it's in Bethesda. So not far.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Who knows when later will be?
Exactly. Not I. I'm fine with being over Zoom, so it's cool. So I have to do a group on every Monday and then individual therapy every Thursday. But while I'm doing it, I don't get to see my regular therapist, which I'm, like, having separation anxiety over. So
yeah,
I have
my
last
therapist.
I love her. I have my last session with her on Monday, and, like, I almost cried when I was telling her. I was like, they said I can't see you anymore. Like, I was really sad. I love her. But the program only lasts 6 months to a year, and then I can go back to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's just like I'm taking a little vacation from regular therapy and doing intense therapy for a while.
Yeah.
And other news, my brother-in-law got a job, which is great.
Wow, that's so fast. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
So I am now nannying 3 days a week starting next month.
Wow.
So that is why I can afford to do this crazy expensive therapy if I have to.
Yes.
It doesn't cover all of it, but it makes
it
a
would
significant
help
dent.
Significantly. Yeah. Wow.
I'll still have to dig into my savings somewhat if insurance can't cover it, but I think that it's worth it. Honestly.
Yeah.
I think this is an investment in my future. So.
No, it absolutely is. And I've heard great things about DBT.
I have too.
And I can reach out to my friend who is also, a Jewish person with borderline and bipolar disorder.
Oh, my people.
So I'll see how it's going for her, because she's been in it for maybe 2-ish months now, but I think she likes it. She just definitely feels like she can't relate to the other people in the therapy as much. Mm. But I think that's because, like, she's been able to hold on to a lot of, like, long-term relationships, and everyone else in therapy is like, why can't I have a relationship that's more than a week long? So
I mean, same, but
yeah,
we'll see how that works out. Okay, so that is what is going on in my life. It's a lot. I'm definitely in, like, a period of upheaval right now. But
that's okay.
I'm hoping that I'm setting myself up for a good time in my 30s.
I think you are.
That's the hope.
Everyone says the 30s are so easy.
I really want them. I want to get married. I want to have the babies. And I want to be normal. It's going to be great.
I don't know if
Let
we can wish for normalcy.
Let me believe it. Okay. How was your life?
It is good. I didn't hear from the girl that I went on a date with, like, at all yesterday, and I was really spiraling. I was like, she hates me, she wants nothing to do with me. I totally made up that our date was really good, which is, like, hashtag PTSD things.
Yes, just a little bit.
And I was like, okay, like, I think I should just ask her, like, officially on a second date so that then I don't have to, like, feel this stress.
Yes.
Like, if we can kind of, like, nail something down a little bit more, like, it'll really alleviate some of that anxiety around the idea of, like, fucking it up without knowing that I am. Yes. So I asked her, and then it took her, like, 4.5 hours to respond.
I would have already killed myself, so...
I really was like,
doing that.
I was trying to not quite go into mourning yet, especially because, like, she has an internship that is 40 hours a week, so it's a job.
Wow, yeah.
But it's all on West Coast time. So, like, I know that her schedule is, like, it's not completely different from mine because, like, I do a lot of my work stuff, like, kind of in the late afternoon and evening, but, like, hers, like, sucks her in because, like, she's an animator, and then she had family over afterwards, so she, like, said that to me, and our conversation was, like, definitely not as, like, feeling disconnected, which is, like, feel yes, good. And we're going to Annapolis this weekend, so I'm very excited.
Love it.
The weather's supposed to be gorgeous in Annapolis. Oh, and oh my God, I saw a double rainbow in my backyard today.
Oh my God, look at that.
It was so cool.
It's a good day, man.
I know. It was really, really cool. So that was great. And I'm almost done with my embroidery. I'm like basically halfway done. So now I have to order more things online and continue the narrative that my parents have that I have a shopping addiction, which is
same.
Probably correct.
Yeah, same. I just got this yes. ring.
Ooh.
This middle
oh,
one.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. I like it a
That's
lot too.
Awesome.
That was my little present for myself after I got out of the hospital. So
hell yeah.
I will remember I it that. As my, and actually my mom gave me this one right after I got out of the hospital last year.
Oh
so
really?
This is just like my suicide attempt hand.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Just staying alive things.
Just staying alive things. Okay. Should we talk about the episode?
Yeah. I'd love to talk about the episode.
All right. What'd you think? Lay it on me.
It was an amazing episode.
Shut
it was
up.
Really good.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah.
Extremely exciting.
I mean, like, this episode did what most, like, shows do between, like, the first season and the second season, where they go from being, like, okay
yes.
to, like,
yes.
very good, very fast. And, like, I can just tell that that's what this episode was.
And it's going to stay that way. It's going to be.
Thank God.
It's going to stay really good.
It was, that was a really great episode.
I'm telling you, it's
really
a good,
good
fucking show.
I didn't, like, not believe you.
I know.
The pilot was so bad.
I know. I keep telling you, back half of season three, best television arc. Best
okay.
thing that's ever been on TV.
Okay. I am willing to believe you. Also, somewhat unrelated, I am watching Queer Eye, like, in my spare time. Like, the show... like, isn't good.
I don't like Queer Eye.
I really like the people. But, like, they don't talk about being gay anymore.
That's annoying.
So it's like, what's the fucking point? It's just a makeover show.
Yeah.
And, like, I love makeover shows, but where's the gay?
Yeah.
I need more. So if you're a Netflix producer and you're listening to this, I have some fighting words.
Also, give us a TV show.
Yes, please.
Obviously. And can you also revive Queer as Folk? Because we need it. Thank you. God, I want a revival so much.
It would be really good.
Yeah, I know. Bring back the cast. I want a show about old queer people. Like, wouldn't...
That would
show,
be fun.
We don't have a show about queer people, like, in their 50s. That's not a thing that
no.
we have.
Like, I think... the revival of the L Word is, like, kind of trying to do that, but they only have three of the old characters, and everyone else is in their 20s. So it's, like,
yeah.
it's not really doing that.
I just want the old cast. Like, they can, I'm sure they'd bring in some
Golden
new people.
Girls, but lesbians.
Here's the thing.
Come on.
Baby Gus now is the perfect age to be going out on Liberty Avenue and discovering everything.
Oh, my God.
So it writes itself.
Wow.
Yeah.
They really gotta. And then they should consult with me, because I have lived in Pittsburgh.
Yes, exactly.
I can make it look way more accurate.
We can actually get some people of different colors in there. And maybe some people with different genders instead of all men.
Oh, wouldn't these things be nice?
Yes. Okay. But let's talk about what we do have.
Yes.
Which is this episode.
We got way more Emmett, which I was really happy with.
He gets his first plot next episode!
I'm so excited.
It's so bad,
so
but I'm so proud of him. I know, we did get more Emmett, and it was great.
Yeah,
I love him.
Emmett.
He's so perfect.
I'm so glad that you told me about that moment where Emmett has his arms around Justin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that he, like, kisses Justin.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
And then Brian takes
Brian's
his arms
like, nope.
off of him. Yep.
He's mine.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
They're
then,
really cute at the beginning when they're like
yes.
cuddling by the car.
They were so cute. And like Justin was so integrated in a way that he
mm-hmm.
really wasn't the rest of the episode, which is kind of unfortunate.
It was, yeah. It's at this point, it's really like whether or not it's convenient for the scene to have Justin there. Like we didn't
That's
have
fair.
Him at Michael's party because
yeah.
we needed to have Brian going home to him. But, like, realistically,
yeah.
he would have been at Michael's party. But
yes.
also, realistically, David would have been at Michael's party. And he also wasn't there because it wasn't mm-hmm. convenient. So it was really
mm-hmm.
just, like, whatever worked out.
Whatever.
Yeah. But they're really cute in that opening scene. And that opening scene, because of what you mentioned, the group integration, it's one of my favorite little bits with them walking out of the club together and then them all spanking Emmett and Emmett.
Yes.
It's like, it's very cute. And the way that after Brian pulls Justin to the car for him, they all kind of go like, okay, all right, bye. Like, I guess this part of our night is over. Yeah, it's couples time.
Oh, yes. They like, they just know.
Yeah.
Stan.
And then Craig shows up.
Yep. I didn't realize his name was Craig.
His name is Craig.
Awful, canceled, terrible.
He was really funny when you were saying you loved him last episode, because I was like, well, he's going to beat the shit out of Brian, so they're going to love him even more. So.
I mean, okay, so, like, my frustration with Brian is, like, way less this episode.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think at the beginning of every episode, you kind of reset in, like, your patience for all the characters, and I just, like, I had no patience for Brian last episode. So
next episode delves into a lot of his family stuff and rounds him out a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to meet his dad.
Wow. Yeah. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. But here we have Brian getting the shit beaten out of him by
the dad for no reason.
Justin's dad.
I wish that Justin had, you know, laid a punch on his dad.
Would have been nice.
Yeah.
As we saw in the locker room scene last episode, Justin's maybe not the strongest. It took like 9 people to hold Chris Hobbs back and 1 person to hold Justin back when they were fighting.
Yeah, he's a little string bean.
Yeah, he's a little titchy.
Yes.
So, should we just keep going through the episode, or should we split up into people, or what are we doing?
Well, we kind of started with Brian and Justin, so I feel like we can kind of follow them.
All right.
And then move around.
So, Brian lets Justin stay at the loft that night.
Yeah. Like, which is so nice.
Yeah.
But I feel like it wasn't, like, a question. It was, like, a come with me.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you could kind of tell that even though he just got beaten up, that he knew, like, he understood the weight of what it's like to have your parent come and beat the fuck out of, you know, someone that you care about.
Yep.
And also give you a horrible ultimatum, like, you can be gay or you can get out of my life. I mean, sorry. No, you can not be gay
or you can leave. He told Justin that he was brave for standing up to his dad.
Yeah, Stan.
And okay, so he tells Justin to sleep on the couch. Justin gets up to the Madonna song, creeps across the loft like a little deer taking its first steps, gets into bed. Brian lets him stay. This has got to be the first time they've slept next to each other without having sex.
Yep.
And I get emotional about Brian pulling that sheet over him every single time.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
It was a great moment.
Yeah. And then in the next scene, Michael says, like, why is he at your place? And Brian just says, he has to stay somewhere.
Yeah. He's, like, not letting Michael be annoyed about it.
Nope.
I mean, Michael's going to be annoyed about it regardless.
Yes. But he has to be.
Yes.
And then Jennifer shows up at the office. After
Stan. Okay. This was so iconic.
I love that scene. That's my sister's favorite scene in the series, I'm pretty sure. So Jennifer, after already telling Craig, do not come upstairs in my house.
Yeah.
And yelling at him, telling him he was humiliated by a bunch of fags, which is a great time.
Yes.
Comes in with a whole duffel bag full of Justin's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yells at Brian. And gives him money. And it's great.
It was so good. Because she's, like, obviously, like, she knows that it's not really him that she needs to be mad at. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but I'm also not going to let you not take care of him.
Are you really doing this right now? Can you?
Yes.
Any personal space whatsoever.
Is this Link?
This is Surge.
Surge. Okay. I always get them confused.
Surge is the one who weighs 21 pounds. Hi.
Aww.
He's the biggest cat in the world.
We have multiple cats that weigh at least 21 pounds in this house.
That makes me feel better. How many cats are there in the house right now?
12.
That's actually fewer than I thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought, like, you were at, like, 20.
Oh, my God. No. No. We're at 12. 2 of them are mine. So technically 10 live here permanently. And my dad told my mom, or at least he said this to me in front of my mom, that, we can't get any more cats until two die.
Okay.
So he's trying to do it like a Half-Life thing. Yeah. So like two die, you can get one.
I got that.
You know, so that pairs down a little bit. So
that's a good rule.
We'll see.
I mean, I have Benny's cats coming. So between the two of us, we have six.
That's really so many.
I know. So that's why we have to get a house. But yes. I can't see myself getting more cats for like a very long time.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, no. Also, aren't your cats like at least 10?
Yep. He's 10.
Oh.
Here, I'll put him where you can see him.
Oh, Serge.
He's very cuddly, especially when I don't want him, which is always. I never want him.
Oh my God, are you wearing one of those Maimonides Nuts shirts?
I am!
I am obsessed!
I just got it today.
Oh my God, I love her so much.
Me too. She doesn't follow me on my new Twitter, and it like hurts me in my soul. I'm like, follow me again. I don't think she knows that I switched accounts.
You should DM her.
I know, but...
She's an icon.
Coffee Spoonie doesn't even follow me on my new account. And like, really? We were friends.
Okay, you should DM Softy Spoonie.
I have a couple people who I, like, am very hurt that they're not following me.
Have you followed them on your new account?
Yes.
Okay, maybe they just don't know.
Or they just hate me.
No, they don't hate you. I promise you.
No, I'm pretty sure they hate me.
No.
Well, eventually they'll check my profile and they'll see that I have a pinned tweet about having a new account, so.
Hopefully.
I'll just wait. They'll go like, where's Hannah? I haven't seen her in a while. And then they'll see.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. So Jennifer shows up, gives the duffel bag. Brian is pretty upset at this point.
Yeah, like, I think he has a right to be upset. Because, yes. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, he doesn't want this responsibility.
The loft is really a one-person space. Like, really there's no privacy in it whatsoever.
No.
Yeah. This doesn't work well for two people. And Justin is not super easy to live with, as we see. He makes a mess. He eats all the food. He...
Yes.
Wears your shirts and dances to Moby. Like, he's...
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, I mean... But I also saw the intentions of what he was doing, other than, like, the Moby thing. Like, that was just him being stupid. But, like, he was trying to cook food.
Yeah.
For not just him, but something that Brian could eat as well. I really liked that. I thought, you know. But I do hate when he gets that, like, soft, high-pitched voice. it, his voice goes up a little bit. And he's, like, when he wants Brian to like him, but he, like, doesn't know how to do something that Brian will actually like him for. And so then he, like, it just, like, is too childish for me. And it's like, not interesting, and it makes me feel like Brian is right to not like him.
I get you.
Like, in those moments. So, yeah.
So, Brian brings home Hotlanta, and...
I love that.
Hotlanta has the worst southern accent.
He really sounded Australian for so long.
And the actor who plays Brian is southern, so he gets to actually use his accent.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, and it's cute.
Yeah.
And Justin goes and stays with the lesbians for a little while. I actually like the lesbians a lot in this scene.
It was okay.
I like Melanie saying, if you want, you can wash my car. And they just look like a really functional couple.
Yes.
And I think they're sweet. And it was nice of them to have Justin stay with them.
Yes. And I'm glad that Lindsay called Brian so that she could, like, tell him off.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I don't know. Someone needed to do it. And also, like... It sucks that, you know, Justin would have to live on anyone's couch. Like, that's awful. That's really rough. But the lesbians aren't, like, responsible for him.
Yeah.
Like, at least not nearly as much as Brian is, so.
One of my favorite arcs through the whole show, and this is something that I wax poetic about at my ex a lot when we're watching this, is Justin's search for a home.
Yeah.
And that's something that is going to take us through all of these seasons. And really? it has an ending that is a lot. So and that's why it's an arc that I absolutely love. So if you just keep that in the back of your head while you're watching the show, this idea of Justin looking for a home, because it's going to be a very long time until Justin has a real home.
Yeah. Okay. I can get down with it.
Yeah. So just keep that in your head. Oh God, I'm all in my feelings now. Okay. so Brian picks Justin up at school after Lindsay yells at him.
Right when these children are gonna beat him up.
Yeah. Takes him back to his house, and then we have that scene.
Yes, where the mom, what is she, so one of them is like, you gotta live here, and Justin's like, not unless dad apologizes to Brian, and then the dad's like, I won't apologize, I am a man and cannot be sorry for anything ever.
Correct. So. And then his dad says if he stays here, he can't see Brian. He can't go to clubs.
And then Brian's like, that's bullshit.
Brian says, that's not love, that's hate.
Yep.
And then he says his line, Justin, you coming, on his way out, and takes Justin with him.
Yep. Which, and, like, thank God.
Yeah, and I think that's the moment where people come around on Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, I don't know. Brian really... What am I trying to say? Like, he just knows that that is what Justin needs. And we don't really see Brian make that many sacrifices, or at least not yet so far. Whereas I feel like we've seen other people make sacrifices, even if they're small ones.
Yep.
And so seeing Brian, who gets whatever he wants whenever he wants, make a sacrifice for the sake of someone else is, like, really powerful.
And then we have... at Michael's party, Brian saying, I have someone waiting for me.
Yes.
He goes home, and then we eat jambalaya. And that scene where they're looking at each other while they're eating the jambalaya is, that's the way I say, if you're not on board, you're not going to get on board.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I was on board by then.
It's always better the second day, and the way they're looking at each other. I just, I cannot. I can't.
It was really good. It was really good.
I love them.
Yeah. Was there anything else involving the two of them that we needed to talk about?
I don't think there really was. I think so. We're going to see them living together again next episode.
Thank God.
We'll see more of their little home life.
Oh.
But Justin is not a focus in the next episode. So what we really get is them kind of living together in the background. And it's cool. It makes it seem very functional.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It's a Brian is a focus, but Justin is not.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Next episode focuses on Brian and Emmett.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
All right.
I want an episode that's just Emmett and Ted, though.
That will happen.
Fuck yes. I mean, I'm so excited.
It won't ever be just them. There will always be Brian and Justin, but don't make that noise of Brian and Justin. But there will be plenty of Emmett and Ted. They get their plots. You will see them, I promise.
Good.
There's an episode later this season. It's episode 20. Where it's kind of an episode like the art show where they're all in one place.
Yeah.
So the whole episode takes place at Babylon and everybody has their own plot.
Oh, okay.
And it's really fun.
Oh, okay.
It's a really good episode.
Okay. I'm sure I'll like that.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that like has a name? It's like a fishbowl episode or something?
Oh, a bottle episode.
Bottle episode.
It's not technically a bottle episode because the first and last scenes are in the diner, but and there's like a scene in Michael's apartment, but like for the most part, it is a bottle episode. Yeah.
Okay. It's close to being a bottle episode.
It's close. It's like a half bottle.
Yes.
Okay. So we got to talk about Michael.
Yes. I think this was a great episode for Michael. I really liked his plot.
Lay it on me. Talk to me. Because I do not care.
Usually I hate Michael, but I really, like, as someone who has been out at every workplace, because I only ever work with either all women or all gay people, like, my current job, my boss and I are not straight, and, like, her partner is now, like, not cis, so, like, but, you know, when you start a job, there's this fear, it's like, do I come out, like, will something bad happen if I come out? Because that's kind of what we're taught forever and ever and ever. And even though, like, it's different now, like, it's scary. I don't know. Also, like, I can totally see Michael's, like, envy of his friends who are all out at work.
Ted is not.
Ted is not.
I don't think Ted really talks to people much at work, so I don't think he really cares. Brian is out.
And Emmett's obviously out. Yeah. So, like, I totally see, like, his envy of, like, them and how they get to be, like, happy and stuff. And I, like, totally get the, like, guilt in his relationship, like, because he feels guilty that he, like, can't take David to this party, and David obviously would, like to go to the party. And then later on, like, the manager is trying to confront him about, Trisha, I think her name is?
No, her name is, oh my god, what is her name? I hate myself right now.
Tiffany?
No, it's a T name. Tracy.
Tracy. Ew. No, I'm gonna call her Trixie. Trixie Mattel. So he goes on a date with Trixie Mattel. And, no, so the manager is trying to confront him about the girl and being like, she's great, you guys should get married. And Michael's, like, feeling like, no, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, like, what's been hammered into him by, like, his friends and, like, I'm sure his mom would.
His mom, definitely, yeah. She's like, look how honest his eyes are. They could never lie.
I know. Yep. And he doesn't come out. And, like, I don't know, you can just see that it weighs on him. And I like it because I feel like Michael is such an unbridled asshole so often that I like seeing him have this awareness that he is doing a bad thing, you know, and that he wants to change, even though most of the time he doesn't and he probably never will.
We'll see. My problem here with Michael is he should just dump David and date Tracy because she's so much better.
I mean, I can totally see where you're coming from. Tracy is gorgeous.
Yes.
However, he's gay.
So?
I don't know. I think he should at least be honest with Tracy. That's what bothers me.
It's hard. It's hard to watch him jerk this poor girl around.
Yeah.
And he feels bad about it.
Yeah. And I feel like Tracy, out of all of the people at his workplace, would be the least homophobic.
Oh, yeah. Tracy is Seth's favorite character.
Wow. Okay, Seth.
He's a big fan of Tracy. She shows up a few times in later seasons, and he's always so happy to see her.
Oh. I feel like if Michael was like, do you want to come home to, do you want to come have dinner at my house? I want you to meet someone or something like that. She would be happy. She probably wouldn't think anything of it. And then he would be like, hey, I want you to meet my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would go over pretty okay.
And she would probably still go with him to parties like this when he needs someone. Yes. So there's really no good reason for him not to do that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating.
That's what's bothering me.
Meanwhile, Debbie collapses and
so fucking stupid.
She and Vic kind of have it out about her feeling obligated taking care of him, and she says she doesn't, and it's nice.
Which, I really like that scene. Mm-hmm. I texted you about Vic's awful acting.
It's bad. It's very bad.
Which, like you said, he's a Shakespeare actor, so, like, he's probably good in Shakespeare, but he's not good on
stage.
Yeah,
he's probably good on stage, yeah.
Yeah. And I really thought Debbie was annoying as fuck this episode.
I hate Debbie, so, you know.
I usually think she's fine, but I didn't like her. I didn't like finding out that her hair was a wig. That was really offensive to me.
This is the only episode where you'll ever see her without her hair. She wears a different wig in one episode, but besides that.
Ugh. Didn't appreciate that.
You can forget it.
But, like, I can really, like, relate to the story of someone feeling obligated to having to take care of someone else, because, like, that's what I've seen my whole life from all of my grandparents who've died of Parkinson's disease.
Yeah.
Two out of four!
My grandmother has that. Good times. Yep. It's going great. Sucks. It's awesome.
Yeah. But I like that, and then I had also just watched, like, probably the only decent episode of Queer Eye this season, where a wife was taking care of her husband who has a degenerative disease. So it's like, damn, it do all be lining up.
Yeah, it really does.
So, So,
do we have anything else this episode?
Emmett is great.
Emmett is great.
No Daphne. Jennifer fucking Daphne, kills
it. Showed up on Brian's answering machine briefly.
Oh yes.
Yes.
She was like asking Justin something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, where are you?
Yes.
Are you two doing it? Then Brian hears that. Oh god.
Oh my god, Daphne. She's like such a baby.
That was Brian's first introduction to Daphne.
Oh my god, Brian, no.
Brian and Daphne will become very good friends, don't worry.
Thank god.
It's, they're adorable.
Good, because no one's allowed to hate her.
It's actually, is that next episode? No, it's one more episode. You'll see them. They actually meet each other in person.
Oh good. I can't wait.
It's lovely.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay.
I liked the scene in the gym this time better than previous times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did too.
Cool.
Okay. Hot or not?
Yes. My hot is obviously well, maybe it's not that obvious.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, my hot is going to Jennifer.
Oh, of course.
I mean, like, I probably should go to Brian, but, like, I really love Jennifer and...
Love Jennifer.
I am waiting for a divorce. I'm really hoping that that's in the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, her husband is just being such a shit, and it's like, how could you love someone like that? And they're such a bad person.
They're going to get divorced, and then she's later going to date this really hot young guy who drives a motorcycle.
Oh, fuck yes. I'm so excited for her. And she obviously, like, cares about Justin so much, and she's, like, really doing the work to sort of put away her feelings about Brian, which is very important and very necessary. And I just, like, she's doing the most. She's, like, trying to take care of her son as best she can in these circumstances, and she stands up for herself and her kid, and I love it.
She's amazing.
What about you?
Let's see. I think I'm going to give it to Melanie. Because
she had two lines.
No. She takes in Justin, and she's not like Lindsay, who's like obligated to clean up Brian's mistakes.
That's true.
Brian is not her person. And she does it willingly and openly and says Justin can stay anytime he wants.
Yeah.
And
she's genuinely nice to him.
Yeah. And she lets Lindsay handle talking to Brian instead of insisting that she do it.
Yeah.
And she trusts Lindsay to be harsh enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I really did appreciate that.
Yeah. And she looked hot.
Yes. Also, I forgot to mention this, but, like, I think when you told me about Michael getting a new job, no, sorry, or getting a promotion, like, when you told me last week, I was like, ugh, he doesn't deserve it. But, like, I'm glad that he got it. I don't know. Like, he needs to help out his mom and Vic.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Rooting for the characters in Queer as Folk. Nah. I'm so proud. I'm so proud. Okay, who's your not?
My not is the writers who didn't put in a plot for Ted and Emmett. No. My not is gonna be... Like, I'm gonna very lightly give it to Justin. Because I would really appreciate seeing him stand up for himself a little bit more. And I would have really liked to see him, like, punch his dad.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe make a little bit more of an effort to be out of Brian's way. Like, I understand why he's not, but we've seen him be more assertive in other situations, and I, like, felt like we were missing that from him this episode.
I got that. I'm going to give it to David. Because I thought he was so non-understanding of Michael's position.
Yeah, that's true.
And just generally was not supportive and threw a little hissy fit about Michael not wanting to bring him to this work party. When, like, you're an old man, get over it. You don't even want to go to this boring-ass party.
That's fair. Yeah. You know who I wish was in this show?
Who?
Mangus.
You're ridiculous.
He's so good. Can you imagine if he was dating one of them? It would be, like, perfect.
I mean, that would be fun.
It'd be so fun. I feel like he would, like, be great with Michael or with Emmett.
I do really appreciate the lack of heterosexual main characters in this show, as opposed to in The L Word. We do have Debbie, and Debbie will date later, but I know. But she's, like, our only straight person. And it's okay. Nice.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because all of Kit's plots were horrible.
Yes, they were really bad, except for when she met Mangus, because he is incredible.
Mangus is good, yes.
And then Kit tried to be a lesbian, like, twice, and it never worked out.
So bad. Okay. Do you want to hear about our next episode?
Yes, I do.
Episode 9 is called Daddy Dearest. Michael decides to break up with Dr. David, who surprises Michael by asking him to move in with him. Lindsay and Melanie ask Brian to relinquish his parental rights to Gus.
Yes.
Emmett becomes addicted to cybersex.
Oh, hell yes. I'm so excited for Emmett.
Yes. Wow. This episode, a lot of people really love this one because of the character development for Brian. I don't love this one. I just think it's kind of boring.
Oh, no.
But, again, a lot of people love it, so.
Okay.
Episode 10, I like a lot.
Okay.
Episode 10 has my favorite sex scene in the entire series. So.
Ugh, I don't think I'm going to like any of those scenes.
Listen, it's good.
All right. Okay.
But, yeah. Episode 9, Daddy Dearest. It's all about fathers and sons and things. It's the father and son episode.
I wonder if it came out on Father's Day.
It came out on February 11th, so no. Nope.
Right before my birthday, though.
Hey! It's an Aquarius episode.
Yes, we stan.
We do.
Oh, did I tell you that the girl that I went on that date with is a Gemini?
You did! And we talked about how we love Geminis and how my favorite ex is a Gemini.
They are the easiest to date. They are amazing.
I'm a Gemini rising.
Nice.
Love Geminis.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes.
You should go and follow us on Twitter at A Little Too Harsh. Follow Hannah as at Hannah Mosk, and I'm on Twitter as at Jesse_Quinn. See you next week. Adopt a cat.
Adopt a cat.